that we do in this life, and we live, it seems, in a very busy world, don't we? In a very busy society, people are just so busy all the time, just, you know, running here and there and doing this and doing that. So many things that we deem important. But, you know, all of us as human beings, we're all headed for one little second of time where the only thing that will really matter at all is whether or not you know the Lord. I mean, listen, when I've said this before, for all of us, when we get ready to die, when we get ready to take our last breath here, in that moment, how much money that you had won't matter, will it? How big your house was, how new your car was, none of those things will matter. The only thing that'll be important is whether you know the Lord. You're getting ready to go to heaven or getting ready to spend an awful eternity in hell. That's all that it's based upon. Doesn't have anything to do with how good you think you are or how good you tried to be. Where you're going to go after this life is going to be based upon whether or not you've been born again by the Spirit of God. That's all. I want to ask for your prayers as I try to share with you the things that God has placed upon my heart. Pray for me today. Pray for me here in just a little while when we go to tape there for the old-fashioned gospel hour. If you have your Bibles today and would like to read with me, please turn to Acts chapter 12. 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. And I'm going to stop my reading there with the 15th verse. I also want to call your attention to just a couple of verses found in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I would like to read actually a few verses beginning with verse 12 and read through verse 15. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now I want you to listen to the 15th verse here. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I want to use a title today. They were praying. They were praying. In the 12th chapter of Acts, where I have read before you here this morning, we were reading about a time when there was great persecution that was going on against the people of God. They were being greatly persecuted. And we read here how that James and Peter had been apprehended. They had been put into prison, and James had already been killed. He had already been martyred, and they were going to do the same with Peter. And the Bible tells us here that in the 5th verse that Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And I believe that it's very important as a church that we pray. And I want to talk a little while today about prayer, about what it is, about the results of prayer, about how much we need to pray. And there was a great promise that was made in those verses there in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. It was true for Israel, and I believe that it's true for the church today, that God is attentive unto the prayers of His people. God listens to our prayers. God hears our prayers. And if we will really pray the way that the Bible has instructed us to pray, then God will answer our prayers. He will not only hear our prayers, but He will answer our prayers. Prayer is something that is essential. Now, I'm convinced of this. In the life of a Christian individually, or within the body, within the church, prayer is something that is essential. It is absolutely necessary if we are going to stay close to the Lord. We're not going to have a close walk to God without having a good, active prayer life. Now, I want to speak about for a moment about what prayer truly is. Prayer is more than saying words. Jesus, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus warned His disciples when He was teaching them about prayer. He warned His disciples not to pray like the heathens pray, not to pray like the hypocrites pray. He said, don't pray to be seen of men. Don't use vain repetitions, because when they pray, they think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. And so he said, don't pray with vain repetitions. And he told them also that the heathens, the hypocrites, like to pray, make sure that they were praying in a public setting where they would be seen of men, where they might have some type of honor bestowed upon them. But that's not what prayer is for. That's not what prayer is about. It's not about us being seen of each other and bestowing some type of accolades upon one another. Prayer is about communion with God. It's about talking to the Lord. And so Jesus told them, he said, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray unto God in secret, and the Father will hear in secret and reward you openly. Now, Jesus wasn't condemning public prayer. He wasn't saying don't ever pray in public, but what he was saying was don't go out and pray for the purpose of being seen of men. When you pray, wherever that you're at, whatever the setting is, whether you're with somebody or by yourself, make sure that you have entered into that close space with God. Make sure you have entered into the closet, and that prayer is something that's going on between you and the Lord. We could use several different things, I believe, to define prayer. We could simply say that prayer is talking to God. It is. Prayer is talking to God. We could say that prayer is making our request known unto God, making our supplications and our requests known unto the Lord. The Bible speaks about that, and certainly that's a great definition of prayer. There's one in the Bible that I have always favored. And I believe that there was something that Hannah said when she was praying that to me gives to us a great definition, perhaps, and a great understanding of what prayer really is. You see, Hannah was very burdened. She wanted to have a child, but she wasn't able. And she was very burdened about this. And you can read about this in the first chapter of 1 Samuel. But Hannah was really upset and really burdened and really desired to have a child. And so she had gone to the Lord in prayer. She was praying to God. She was making her request known to God in this matter, letting the Lord know what it was that she was asking for. And the Bible tells us that Eli, the priest, he watched her as she prayed, and he noticed that her lips were moving, but he didn't hear any words. Can you pray without words? Absolutely. Can you pray without saying anything out loud? Absolutely. Can you pray out loud? Absolutely. And so in that situation, Eli noticed that she was praying. He marked the fact that her lips moved, but there was no words. And he actually thought that that she was drunk. And she said, no, Lord, I'm not. I've not taken wine. I've not taken strong drink. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And this is what she said, and this is what I believe prayer really is. She said, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. That's what we do when we're really praying, don't we? We are not trying to impress somebody with words. We're not trying to make ourselves look like we're something or make someone hear us and think that person's something. What we are doing when we pray is we are pouring our soul out to God in behalf of the things that are upon our heart. James talked about Elijah and the great prayer warrior that he was. And in the fifth chapter of James, he wrote about that. And he talked about how that there was a time when Elijah had prayed and there was no rain that fell for about 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the rain came. And you can go back into 1 Kings, I believe about chapter 18, and you can read about Elijah going up on that mountain seven times, falling down before God and praying to God that he would send the rain. And James, in his writing, he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not a programmed prayer. Not a prayer that's nothing but words. But he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was true then, and it's still true today. You know, sometimes, and I think that we need to admit this, I think that we all just need to confess this, but sometimes in our private lives, as God's people, sometimes in our individual life, we just don't have the prayer life that we really ought to have, do we? We're just not seeking the Lord the way that we should be. We're not burdened enough about things oftentimes as we should be. And I'll tell you what, listen, people don't really pray. I mean, we don't really begin to call upon God and pray those effectual, fervent prayers until we're really burdened about something, do we? That's what was happening with Hannah. She really had a burden on her heart. She really had something that she was desiring, and she knew she couldn't do anything about it. Well, aren't there a lot of things that you face in life that you find out you don't have the ability or the power to do anything about them? You would like for you would like for something to happen, but you realize that you can't make it happen. You don't have the ability to make it happen. And so what do? We go to the Lord and we pour out our soul before Him in prayer, because we know this. We know that when we pray, that we're praying to a God that can do all things. I'm telling you, there's nothing impossible with God, and I'm so thankful, and I stand in awe of the things that He has shown to me even in my life. And I'm not just talking about things that I was praying for. I'm talking about things that I've seen my brothers and sisters praying about. I'll tell you what, I believe that when we come here, and I hope that we never stop doing this, I believe when we come here and we assemble together that we ought to share our burdens with one another. We ought to make our requests known. We ought to let our brothers and sisters know, I need you to help me pray about this. Because listen, if the effectual, fervent prayer of one man avails much, how about the effectual, fervent prayer of many righteous people? I'll tell you what, God loves to hear from His church. He loves to hear from His children. And so when we unite our hearts in prayer, just like He said when Solomon prayed that prayer of dedication at the completion of the temple, he prayed that prayer. Listen, sometimes we might hear somebody say a prayer, and we may say, oh, what a beautiful prayer that was. Well, perhaps it was. But I'm telling you this, if it was nothing but beautiful words, it wasn't prayer. Prayer is something more than that. Prayer is something that comes from someplace more than just our lips and our voice. Hannah was praying. I mean, she was praying. She was praying effectually. She was praying fervently. And the Bible tells us that she wasn't even saying anything audible. She wasn't speaking words, but she was praying to God. She was pouring her soul out before the Lord. And so, just as it was in those days when the temple was completed and prayer was made, and God told them, "My ears are attentive unto the prayers that come from this place." You believe that God hears us when we pray? You believe that God is listening to us? You know, the Bible tells us that there is one God. And there's only one true God. There is one God, and there is one mediator between men and God, the man, Christ Jesus. And because we have a mediator, folks, we can get our prayers through to God. And the Bible also tells us that we have a divine intercessor in the Holy Spirit that searches our hearts, because we know not the things that we ought to ask, but the Holy Spirit of God searches our hearts with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I'm telling you, it's been my experience in my own life that when I am really able to pray, I believe when you make touch with God, when you touch heaven, you know it, don't you? The Lord can take you to a place through prayer that's, I would like to spend more time there. Well, they were praying for the Apostle Peter. They were praying for him because he was in danger. They were praying for him because he was about to be killed. And honestly, I believe that their prayers did more for him than just cause God to come and set him free. I believe their prayers gave him great peace in the situation that he was in. Think about what the Bible told us there, that this man was in prison and he was about to be killed. There the next day, they were going to take him. They had him chained there. They had him incarcerated there between those soldiers. And the Bible says that he was just laying there sleeping. He didn't seem to be worried about anything. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I believe that when we pray for one another, when we realize that our brothers and our sisters have great stress and great problems and great things going on in their life, not only can God hear our prayers and answer them and deliver them, but He can grant great peace. He can give us great peace and comfort in times of great trouble. You know, what I've heard many people say about prayer, I've heard this testimony given by people many times. I've heard people thank their friend or thank their church or whoever it was that they knew that was praying for them. They said, "Thank you for your prayers. I felt them. I felt them. I knew that somebody was praying for me." I've shared this with the church before. The night that God saved me, I don't know if it was right at that moment or not. I don't know. But the way that it all come about, the way that God suddenly dealt with me And the night that the Lord saved me, I'll be convinced until the day that I draw my last breath and leave this world that somebody somewhere was praying for me. Somebody was bringing me before the throne of grace. Somebody was praying that God would deal with me and that He would save me. I'll tell you what, we need to pray for these lost souls, don't we? We need to be interceding with God in their behalf. Many people today, they want to give lost people this thing that they call the sinner's prayer. It's very formulated. They say, you just repeat this prayer that I give you, and you'll be saved. Let me tell you where the sinner's prayer is. It's down there in the sinner's heart. That's where the sinner's prayer is. Listen, I was saved when I was 18 years old, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was not accustomed to praying. I was not before that time. You would have never looked at me and said, boy, what a prayer warrior that guy is. I mean, that's just something that I wasn't accustomed to doing. I had done it. I had tried to pray before to be saved, but I spent very little time talking to the Lord in prayer. But listen, the night that I was saved, I fell down on my knees before God, and I didn't need anybody. I didn't need anybody to tell me what to pray. I mean, I just began pouring my heart out to God. And I don't think the words, you know, the words that were said, that was not what was important. I was pouring my soul out to the Lord. And I didn't need anybody to tell me, you repeat this prayer. God was giving me everything that I needed. You know, listen. You're not going to get saved unless you pray to God. Now, I'm not telling you that, I'm not saying that you'll have to be on your knees. I'm not saying you'll have to be in any bodily position. But you're not going to get saved without calling upon God. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There have been times I wish they were more frequent. I'm sure you do as well. But there have been times when there have been times when the Holy Spirit has helped me to pray where it just seems like all the world fades away. All the world is gone and it's just me and the Lord there in sweet communion, making my request known to God. Praying. There was a, I don't think we have it in our song books or anything, but I was thinking this morning, Brother Strode, about a song that I've heard a lot of times. They were praying, a sound that the world seldom hears. And it talks about the fact that they were praying for someone like me. What was the church when James had been killed and Peter was in prison? What was the church to do? There was nothing they could do. I mean, they couldn't go and free him from the prison. What were they to do? They prayed. And God took care of it. Where can you pray? Where do you have to be to pray? Anywhere. I've always believed that if a man could pray and get in touch with God from the belly of a whale, that you could pray from anywhere. Somebody, I remember one time somebody made a statement, something to the effect that, can you imagine Job praying
inside the belly of the fish. And I thought, well, if you were in the belly of a fish, what would you do? What would you do? I bet we would all have been praying, wouldn't we? Prayer, it's essential. It's essential to us staying close to God. If you realize that your prayer life has slipped, if you realize that your prayer life is not what it needs to do to be, the best thing to do is get down and pray about it. Pray about it. Pray that God will help you, because it's essential for us. It's essential for us individually. It's essential for us as a church. I'm going to ask Brother Strode, if he would, to sing Sweet Hour Prayer. But I've always loved this song. And these words describe, I believe, what I was talking about there just a moment ago. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. And that prayer can just lift you above the world and take you to the throne of God. Let's sing.
Number 247 in the Moss.
If you're here today, let me say this before he starts the song. If you're here today and you need to call upon God, if you're saved today and you need to pray about something, if you're here today and you're lost and you need to call upon God, while we sing this song, just come to the Lord and make your petitions and requests known unto Him while we sing.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy wings shall mine petition bear to Him whose truth and righteousness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me see flesh.